as we continue to go through the book of Luke, we're finding that Theophilus is being given a lot of information that if one were just to peruse through it, much of it would be left. But in just doing a small recap, this is a Gentilian man or a Gentile. And Theophilus is not a man that has a Jewish background. He doesn't fully understand everything, but he does understand some things. And he's being taught about the Lord Jesus. And as we've gone through and seen some of the things that the people have looked at, did not appreciate, did not see Jesus, they saw Jesus in one way, and what they would end up getting is the bastardization of what Jesus was supposed to be and would not get the full thrust of who he was supposed to be. Therefore, we see in chapter 12, verse 1, and in this 12th chapter, in as much as I cover tonight, the message that Theophilus should pull from this is, keep your eyes on what Jesus says, pay attention to what others say, and fear him. And that's a weird title, but let's look at how the message comes about. Let's just think about our lives. There's often things that Jesus say that seems ridiculous. Sometimes it seems like he tells us stuff before we need to hear it. But it's not before we need to hear it. It's usually before we mess up. But then the things that others say sometimes sound like it's so good, so right, so righteous. But it will lead you away from the thing that will help and benefit you. Now, when you weigh what others say versus what Jesus said, that should be one thing that should be the deciding factor in how you're going to operate your life. And that one thing is this. Who can do something to me and make it count? I submit to you that the one that can do that is Jesus, the magnificent Christ. So we're going to start this chapter off in verse 1, and we're going to have the magnificent Andrina to read for us tonight. 12 and 1, please, Andrina.
In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy.
One of the first things that Jesus told the disciples when he gathered them together, it said he began to say to his disciples first, the ones that were going to disseminate his word, the one that was going to teach others, he told them when the people came and they was trampling on each other, walking on each other, they were just almost not showing any love or consideration at all. He began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven or the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And the problem with hypocrisy is you have one face for somebody else and another face for another. You make yourself look good when you're not. You make it look like you're the truth when you know you're full of error. You try to make it seem like you're gasoline when you're only kerosene, and you're unable to fulfill that which is needed at a particular time to handle the task. Jesus said, beware of people like that. Beware of people that's going to let you down. Putting your confidence in foolish people that are out to get game with you. Read some more of the sweet word of God that I love so well.
Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known.
A fool will be known and a wise man will be known. Nothing is covered. Their doctrine and what you say. Whatever is said will be known one way or the other. Now how it's interpreted is something else. But the time will come in the judgment, and to some people before the judgment, the truth of who you are and the falsity of who others are will be revealed. And Jesus said, stay on tack, stay on point, beware of them. And there's a key in that. Beware is a reason. That's a warning. But he'll bring it out a little more. Let's let Jesus talk verse 3.
Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops.
That ought to mean that you ought to watch what your mouth say. You're going to be my disciples. You're going to teach. What you say is going to be heard. Tell the truth. Tell it loud. Tell it straight. When you tell the word of God, it's going to be heard over and over and over again. And that's how we're able to hear it. But if you're telling lies, that's going to spread. And there's a judgment for that. Please move on.
I tell you, my friends.
Stop right there. What did he call them?
My friends.
And we know in John chapter 15, verse 10, you're only his friends if you do what he tells you. If you don't do what he tells you, you become his enemies. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or middle ground about it. I don't care what another person say. I'm not here to play tonight. I'm in the mood to just tell the butt-naked truth and take no prisoners. It's been a beautiful day. But it's a day for business. Am I right? Business. If you're either going to be his friend or not. If you don't like the way I said it, then go read your own Bible and make you a God of your own. Please read.
Do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do.
I'm your friend. But I'm telling you now, the most that they can do to you, and they can do it, is put you to death. You're my friends. And I'm saying that some of them will be able to put you to death. They did Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, all the way back to Abel. And they'll do me. But it won't matter. It will not matter when they put me to death because I have power over death. Let me tell you to help you get your mind straight who you need to fear. Please read.
But I will warn you whom to fear.
Notice that fourth word, I will what?
Warn.
People have a problem thinking that Jesus can't warn. If he's a chump, we don't need to follow him. He said, I will warn you whom to what?
Fear.
Please read.
Fear him who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I tell you, fear him.
I think people need to memorize that scripture. Jesus is not no blonde hair, blue eyed, wearing soft dress and panties, walking around being all cute. Jesus ain't the Bible said that it was a crowd at the air, and they were trampling one another. He called his disciples out in front of everybody and tell them, this is who you fear. The one that can kill your body and has the authority, the power to say so, to cast into hell. And he already said in other places, nobody judges but me. The Father don't judge. Go to John chapter 5 when you'll see it. I believe it's John chapter 5 around about the 24th verse. He talks about it. If it's not the 24th, it's the 28th verse. If that's not it, read the whole chapter and bless your own soul. Now read some more of the sweet word of God, please.
Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies?
Are not the sparrows, the cheapest birds that you eat, sold for just 2 little denarii, 2 pennies, not even a whole day's work. Those of you that are poor, you know how cheap it is to get some sparrows to eat. Please read.
And not one of them is forgotten before God.
God knows who they are and he knows where they are. They're not forgotten before God. Please read.
Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows.
Although somebody might try to put you to death and hurt you, you ought to stop being afraid. You need to start knowing what to look at. What you do, Theophilus, is you focus on me. Disciples, focus on me. Disciples, don't pay attention to what looks like is going to come up to hurt you or go against what I said. Learn to look at me and learn to put me in my proper perspective. My proper perspective is that I have authority to make changes and eternal consequences. And I'm down so much so with what I know the very hairs on your head. That means if you have pseudophilicolitis, I know. That means if you got a receding hairline, I know. I know how much hair you have on your head. If you do the Michael Jackson and get burned in a Pepsi commercial and you lose a lot of hair, I know how many was burned. I'm the one. Fear not. You have more worth than many sparrows. Now that might hurt some of the green people feeling. That might hurt some of Peter's feeling. Jesus said that people have more values than many sparrows. Now what you gonna say about that? Whatever it is, it must be wrong. Please read.
And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God.
Jesus said with his mouth, he opened it, and he said, those of you that have the temerity, that's another word for boldness. I don't know why I said temerity. It just I don't think it's because my name is Tim Merritt. It just came out. But it says, those of you that acknowledge me, those of you that speak of me, those of you that speak the same thing about me, and you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. What do you mean, my Father? He said the angels of God. Well, if you're familiar with the scripture, you will find out that there's joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner that repents. Now, if the joy is in the presence of the angels of God, and the angels are not doing the joy, who is? So this is one that commits himself to God and speaks it. Those of everyone who acknowledges me before men, that's not just with your mouth, but with your life. The Son of Man, again, Rudy, are you familiar with that Son of Man title that I've used before? That's the title that he's given when he judges the earth. That's the title that he gives when he sends people to hell. That's the title that he gives when he has authority over kingdoms, over nations, over tongues, over tribes. When he has the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom that he's about to inaugurate, when he's tired of what's going on with Antichrist. He uses that powerful title and say that I will do that. The Son of Man will acknowledge you. I'm telling you the truth. If the Son of Man acknowledged me before God the Father, there's nothing else in this world I've ever done that's most wonderful or happier than that. And I don't want to hurt your feeling, but this tops it. Read on, precious.
But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God.
Now, I'm telling you, there are men like Dr. Charles Stanley, there are men like Adrian Rogers that's already dead, and he knows the truth now. They'll say that you can deny God, but he will not deny himself. And in some kind of bastardized way of trickology, they will make it seem that when the Bible says if you deny him, and he will not deny himself, he remains faithful, they make it seem as if some kind of way he won't deny you. Jesus said this. This is red letter for those who just start reading the Bible. They have a red letter Bible. Jesus uses his title, Son of Man. And said, if you acknowledge me, Son of Man will acknowledge you before the angels of God. But the one who denies me in life with their mouth, with their action, I will deny him before the angels of God. And believe me, you don't want the Son denying you. Because the Father loves the Son. Because the Son pleases the Father. I don't even want anybody bothering either one of you all. And I don't have those powers. I went back to the school one day and thought a man was going to mistreat you, and I was very uncomfortable with him. What about God? Please read.
And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven.
Let me tell you something. Everyone that speaks against the Son of Man, you would think he would not be forgiven. You would really think that. But since the Son of Man comes to take away the sins of the world, since the Son of Man is coming to dress up his bride before the marriage, you might have too much to say. Your lips might flatter the wrong one and you deny me. Your lips might flatter the wrong one and you blaspheme me. Let me tell you something. You may not think about this, but when people put Muhammad on the same level with Jesus, that's blasphemy. You know, like, he's just a prophet. And I'm just a breathing being, okay? But those that call Jesus worse and call him out of his name, the leaven of the Pharisees made Jesus be nothing. They made Jesus be the prince of Beelzebub, the prince of devils. They made Jesus be a blessing. Didn't they do it?
Yes.
That's their leaven. What was their leaven? Hypocrisy. We know that he's done notable miracles. We know that nobody ever spake like he did, but we don't want to lose our place. Theophilus, watch those kind of people because they are made of plastic. They are fake and they are phony. I'll say this and then we're going to move back into the scripture. I was at somebody's yard one day and the flowers looked so beautiful. But they barely moved in the wind. I got close enough to it and they were artificial. Didn't we see some of those on Gainesville Road too? Yeah. At one of my aunt's house? Yeah. The flowers looked beautiful. The only way those flowers could give a nice aroma is somebody put some oil on it and you smell it or some kind of perfume. But they look good. That's the same way some people are. And Jesus is warning those people about those kind of foolish people. He said, you can speak against me, but if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, if your doctrine allows you to blaspheme and think what God is doing and say that somebody else is doing it, the devil is doing it, ain't no forgiveness for you. Be careful with your mouth. Your mouth can cost you. There's a saying on the street, your mouth can overload your shantique. If you don't know what a shantique is, it has two cheeks and it's on the backside. Two cheeks, and I'm telling you, it's not your face. Please read.
And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities.
Notice what he just said, dear. When they bring you, they didn't say when they ask you to go softly. It didn't say when they invite you to go. When they bring, most of the time they've already got you under arrest. Before the synagogue, the religious leaders and the rulers and those that are in charge, what Jesus say?
Do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself and what you should say.
Don't be get all nervous. Don't even get nervous about how you should apologia, that word we get apologetics from, how you will give a defense for yourself or what you have to say. There's a reason he's saying that, verse 12.
For the Holy Spirit will speak, will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say.
I think one thing that Theophilus need to understand right here, and those that are following, seeing the teaching that Jesus has set aside for his disciples, is this. Jesus is letting them know that there's going to be obstacles and trouble. Mm-hmm. He said when they bring, not if. Mm-hmm. If I say when it snows tomorrow, and if it doesn't snow tomorrow, like you were wrong to him, or you lied or something. He said when they bring you, don't be anxious. When you speak to defend yourself and to be the Holy Spirit, he's letting you know that obstacles can come. Trouble can come. That's why I told you don't fear them. It can kill the body. That's why I told you beware the leaven of the Pharisees, because that leaven contradicts my leaven, and that's going to be a problem. You stick with what I say. Keep your eyes on me. Realize who I am, and you'll fare well. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And he said, you know what? At that particular time, the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine God, the Holy Spirit, start talking for you? Yeah. I remember he did it for Stephen. Yeah. And baby, the Bible said his face began to glow. And it was like they saw an angel in the air. The words came out of his mouth so beautiful. They were so eloquent. They were so passionately powerful that they said, we just got to kill him. We can't resist his words. And they killed him. But you know what happened after they killed him? The Bible said he looked up and he saw something. Instead of Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father, he saw the Son of Man standing up. Maybe, just maybe, Jesus gave him a standing ovation. Maybe. Read on, Ann.
Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.
Teacher, stop talking what you're talking right now. I need you to deal with it. I got a money problem. And normally we could go to the rabbis and they handle stuff. And you're talking about all this synagogue stuff. And you're talking about blasphemy. And you're talking about the Holy Ghost. And you're talking about living. But something else is on my mind. All this talk you're talking is bothering me. It's bothering me because I'm still thinking about my money. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. He don't want to give me my part. He want to keep it all.
But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?
We knew what you meant. Now here's the deal. He didn't call him brother.
He said, Man.
Who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? Who put me in that position? And I'm going to arbitrate. I'm going to make him give you that which he don't want to give you. Although it might be that you deserve it. But who put me in that position? And he said unto them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For a man's life or for one's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. Wait a minute. He said, take care and be on your guard. Watch yourself. Keep your heart in check. Keep your desires lined up like they should. He said, against covetousness. That's the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Guard your heart against breaking that 10th commandment. Because a man's life does not consist in his cars, his bling, his girlfriends, his watches, his silk underwear, his pretty shoes. It doesn't consist in what he has. But Jesus is making the man understand something. I'm talking about life, and you're talking about stuff. I'm talking about things that get a person prepared to walk with me, and I can confess him before the angels of God, and you will talk about some stuff at this time. Mm. Holy Jesus. Read on, Andrina, number 16.
And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully.
You know, one time I preached this and I talked about the abundant life. What is it? You know how people talk, I want the abundant life. Well, Jesus said the life does not consist of the abundance of what you possess. So the abundant life of what most people want is the leaven of hypocrisy or the leaven of greed. It's the leaven of false teachers. Jesus said, I want to illustrate it to you in such a way so that you can understand what the abundant life is, and so that you never forget it, and so that Theophilus can understand that if he would follow and keep his eyes on Jesus and what Jesus said, he'd learn what to have respect for and what not to. Jesus in this parable is going to lay it out so pretty that I'm going to be quiet and let Ann read it. Go ahead.
And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods.
Jesus said, the man said, I got it made. Things are going well. I got a bumper crop. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to tear down these little barns. They can't hold up all my stuff because I'm exploding. In the words of Rudy, I'm coming up. I'm coming up and everybody can see it. I'm going to build some larger ones and I'm going to store my stuff and I'm going to sit back, relax. I'm going to be laid back, kicking, just enjoying the ride. Read on.
And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.
So we made it. We made it. This is the abundant life. I'm living in the big time. I've already moved on up to the east side. I finally got a piece of the pie. Woo! Read on.
But God.
But God. Whoa. Those two words. Read again.
But God.
Read it again. I like the way it come off your lips.
But God.
But God. You know how you do? You understand what that means? Anything that goes on, anything that I make a plan to do, anything that somebody say that they're gonna do so magnificently well, if you don't hear it, but as long as it's but God. There's time for pause. Shall we pause? But God. All right, tell us about but God.
Said to him, fool!
Fool! Said again.
Fool!
Jesus said that God says fools to people. I'm telling you, folks need to understand, God ain't no God that sit up there in the sky and he can pat you on the back and agree to everything you do. Some things God call you fool. And Jesus said it. Read on.
This night your soul is required of you.
I'm cutting you off tonight. Go ahead.
And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?
Okay, you're going to be dead. And you can't take the barn, and you can't take the grain, and all that eating and drinking and marrying. Whose is that going to be? Let me read.
So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, and is not rich towards God.
See, did you feel that? Jesus was teaching about the kind of individual that acknowledges him and gets acknowledged before the angels of God. And those that don't. And this dude come up with his stuff, wanting to change the conversation, change the mode, probably trying to get this other person to be put on the spot. And Jesus keeping the thing focused where he was. All he did was stay right there where he was. It looked like he changed gears in the end. Mm-hmm. But when Jesus laid it out there, the man can have everything he wants so much so that he can't, don't even have enough room to store it. His jaws are swelling. His pockets are bursting. He don't have enough room to put stuff. His stomach has gotten so fat that you don't even have a navel anymore. I mean, he's got everything that he wants, and yet he don't know what to do with it. And the Bible says that when this man dies, whose stuff is it going to be? He's going to be dead too. He's telling the man to stay divided. If that's where your heart is to get these things, when you get these things, when you die, whose will they be? And Jesus said the man, whenever it was called for his soul, and he was asked that question, he didn't give him an answer. But what Jesus came back and said, every man that has this world's stuff in abundance, but is not rich toward God, that individual is the same one that God will always call the fool. Mm. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of any false teacher that will elevate money to the place where it takes the place of God. Because if you follow that leaven and you don't follow the teachings of Jesus and you don't be to the place where you give the authority or your perspective of your mind to the words that come from his mouth, you'll be just like the fool because your focus will be on the wrong thing. Now, here's the thing. Jesus didn't divide the inheritance. What did you think that man walked away with? Do you think he walked away with the message? Do you think he walked away disappointed? Do you think he walked away, yeah, I know what he said, but you're going to get me mad. I'm going to find you, bro. That was a good little sideboy. Go ahead, Ann. Mm-hmm.
And he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?
Do you see he went back to the same thing? Do you see, to me, that is so magnificent, Ann. It looks like he was interrupted. It looks like he was interrupted and he had to deal with the issue. And that is, as if Satan was trying to pull him off task. But do you see he got back to being your work more than the birds? Mm-hmm. Did you see he got back to the place that God knows the very hair on your head? Mm-hmm. That he knows that? Well, he didn't say it this time, but he said, look, don't be anxious about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to put on when you follow me, these things are already accounted for. Your life is more than what you're going to put in your mouth and go in your belly and going to go out into the drought. Your body is more than clothes. I know it might make you look like you feel like you're magnificently wonderful. Your body is more than that. Consider the ravens. Ravens eat. Consider the birds. They don't have storehouses or barn, and God feeds them. And he said, you are worth more than them. Why would you not listen to his doctrine? Why would you not give your mind and your attention to the authority that he gives if he can set you up like that, so much so that you are taken care of? Let Jesus put the capstone on verse 25.
And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Mm. If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?
Do you understand how he is building? He stayed right with his point. Beware the living of the Pharisees. Don't be afraid of people when they try to hurt you. They can't really stop you from eating. They can't really stop you from sleeping. They can't stop you. They can stop you in one sense because they may lock you up. But they can't do no more than your heavenly Father let you, because he knows what the little worthless bird are. Not worthless in the sense to God, but in comparison to you. Mm-hmm. Worthless. And he said, if you can't make yourself grow by thinking about it, imagine how many guys would have been in the NBA if this by thinking about it, they would have got tall. How many of them have you ever heard used to hang up, you know, by their neck, or they would hang up by their arms, try to get tall and stuff like that, and couldn't do it? Well, if you can't do that, Jesus said, why are you so excited about the rest? Read the rest of the Word of God.
Consider the lilies, how they grow. they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
You know, this is a powerful verse, Rudy. Because the first question somebody should ask, how did you know? That's one of the first questions somebody in the audience should have been asked. How do you know? Mm-hmm. You didn't see him. Mm-hmm. You know, because you read about Solomon's long flowing robe, and he got these gold lions and all of this, and you know he was flowing. Mm-hmm. And Jesus just got through saying, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He just said a mouthful. Mm. Jesus is saying, look, if God could take care of these lilies of the field and they look better than Solomon, he can take care of you. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I'm sure that some people probably didn't even take that into consideration. But I think he meant exactly what I alluded to. Read on.
But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?
See, that's why it's so important that you keep your eyes on the doctrine of Jesus. This is why it's better for you not to go and get caught up in the things of the world or the doctrines of the world, and you to keep your mind on the authority that he gives. Why? Because if God arrays this grass so beautiful and this lily of the field so beautifully that it's more arrayed or look better than what Solomon would have looked like, and then the next day, often they would take that and use that to make their oven to burn it. Mm-hmm. And God still did all that care and stuff for it? Then don't you think that if he would do that for stuff that they're going to use to cook with, he would care for you? Mm. Don't be of little faith. Trust him. Mm. Believe in him. Don't be scared of folk. Mm-hmm. Don't get knocked by the wayside because of the care that is life. Read some more of the sweet word of God.
And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried.
It don't mean don't get a job. But don't let that be your only focus in life. All you want to do is something and eat. Sometimes folks need to fast. Or sometimes folks need to do something. Holy Jesus. Worry about eat. And see, the point that Jesus was talking about is that eating and all you're drinking is that a lot of times people ain't caring about eating on that spiritual side. See? Mm-hmm. They don't want to eat. They can go days without it. Days without eating. And they got a spiritual, but they can be this big. And on the inside, they're this skinny. Mm. Please read.
For all the nations of the world seek after these things.
Trying to be a Wall Streeter. Please read.
And your Father knows that you need them.
Notice. Judas was still there then. He was one of the disciples. And Jesus just said, and your Father. Oh, the Word of God just got so much beautiful stuff in it. Notice it also. He says, Father. He called him Father. Didn't he do it? Yeah. Didn't he say, use a term for relationship, for familial relationship? Yeah. But didn't he just say that if you deny me, or if you deny me, you don't acknowledge me, then I will not acknowledge you. Although you are my family, you can't run over me. Not the one. You're a real trooper, dear. Read on in.
Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you.
See, it didn't say that you won't get it. He didn't say you're not going to eat, but put your focus on him. Put your focus on him. And he said, these things will be added to you. Would you rather go out and have to dig and work and toil and sweat in the heat? 3 and 4 jobs in the heat, sweating and hot and getting greasy, bugs wanting to bite, bees flying around? Or would you prefer to be able to seek God and he just add stuff to you? That's what I need. Seek him. Seek him. Do you seek him? My son, do you seek him with all your heart? If you don't, you're stopping your adding process from coming. Please read on.
Fear not, little flock.
Fear not, little bitty flock.
For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you
there,
the kingdom.
There he goes again. Your Father's good pleasure to what?
Give you the kingdom.
To give is an infinitive. Isn't it? Did I teach you all about infinitives? It's not given to you yet. in part, you can be in it, but you haven't been given the totality of the kingdom. It's your Father's good pleasure to give it to you. He can continually give it like he continually give you the Spirit, but that can be a cut off if you don't want to walk with him. And that's what happened to Judas Iscariot. Please read.
Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys.
Read.
For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I understand somebody can take that scripture and say that God says in everything I have, so I'm selling my car, I'm selling my shoes, I'm selling my TV, I'm selling my watch, and I'm just going to walk to work and I'm going to have me one pair of pants so that I don't get locked up for being naked. First of all, you're not one of these disciples that's out here that he commissioned. Get your mind right and read who he's talking to right now before you make an application. These men, they have money bags that don't grow old because they're out doing the work of the kingdom, going out, read the whole book before you start snatching stuff and put yourself and look stupid. Well, I didn't pay my light bill because the Bible says sell all your possessions and get to the needy, and I didn't pay my lights. There are times when this will fit for us. We have some stuff that we don't have to have. We have some things that we can do to help somebody help. But I don't believe that he's telling everybody to sell all their possession and give to the needy. But I do believe that this same principle of being beneficent, mm-hmm. being compassionate to other mm-hmm. people, is what God wants us to do. Please read. And I left 34. Please forgive me. Mm-hmm. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. You ever seen somebody that just so crazy about a young woman or young girl crazy about a young man, but especially a young man crazy about a young woman, and no matter what she does that's wrong, if his heart is with her, if she becomes his treasure, his heart will be there. She can do wrong, and he'll still be there. She can talk bad, and he'll still be there. Or if it's a woman, he can beat her sometimes. And they ain't married. And mistreat him. Well, what about a man with a car? Lord have mercy. Some of them, their heart is in their car. Or their heart is in their children. Or their heart is in their degree. I'm Dr. Bubblegum of Chewing Gum Factory. And I want everybody to know that I am Dr. So-and-so-and-so. And I graduated from E-Bye-Bye-Bye-Bye-Bye-C. Well, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. If your heart and treasure is, you know, I know God. I love him. I want to serve him. I want to be subject to him. I want to follow his doctrine. I want to shun the other doctrine. I want to be under his authority. And that's all my focus and my desire is. If that's where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. But I submit to you that there's a lot of distractions in this world to make that the last thing on your list. Please read, precious.
Let your loins stay girded and keep your lamps burning.
Notice, let your loins be girded. Mm-hmm. And let your lamps stay burning. The English Standard Version says, stay dressed for action. And keep your lamp burning. Now notice these are things he's telling you to do. I understand that people that teach Christianity say there's nothing for you to do. But he's saying, keep your mind right. Be ready to do business. Be ready for battle. Be ready to walk in the darkness and having the light on your side. Is it saying that? Read some more of the sweeter word of God.
And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks.
When they come from that culture, and he's talking about when the men come, when he comes from the wedding feast, the service is there, the service are waiting, and when he comes home, he wants to find you on the job. He's telling them, be just like that and be on the job. You didn't just get a job or get hired for me to do what you want to do the way you want to do it. I am the Lord of glory. And you need to fear me. I have the authority. If I kill a man that casts body and soul into hell, you better hear my words. Read.
Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them.
Notice. Those servants, when the master finds awake, on the job, not laying down, not acquiescing, he will dress himself for service and have them to recline. And he will reward them. He will. That's a beautiful thing. But it didn't say for those that just for his service and did nothing. Notice, this actually goes against the counterculture of Christianity today. Read the next few verses and I'll let it explain itself.
If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants.
If he finds them awake and on the job and their loins girded about to do business, they are blessed. What would be the contrary of that? What would be the opposite of that? What would, let's use a big word, what would be the antithesis of that?
Find them asleep.
That's right.
Won't be
what we teach now is antithetical. It's the opposite of what Jesus is saying. Why? Because we dismiss many times what Jesus said in this Christian community. I tell you, he was showing Theophilus what to pay attention to, what not to pay attention to, and whom to fear. Because the thing is, knowing what Jesus says, knowing what not to believe, for some of us is not enough. If it was enough, why did Jesus keep giving them these things of fear? Why does he keep giving them warning? Because you need to understand that this is not optional in his kingdom. And let's take these last few verses. We're going to stop at verse 48, okay? Go ahead.
In verse 40?
Yeah, go ahead and read the next one.
But know this. If the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into.
He's giving an analogy now. If a man had a house and he knew what time the thief was coming, he'd be ready. He might have his friends there. He might have their clubs or slingshots or whatever they had that day. But he wasn't going to let somebody come in and take his stuff. In other words, he'd be ready. That's the point Jesus is making. Next verse.
You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect.
Now, I don't suppose to stutter when I talk, but sometimes I get a little bit out of shape. When people make it out, we don't have to be ready. We don't have to live like God say. But Jesus just got through showing that if a man knew his house was going to be broken into, he prepared himself and be on watch to defend it. And he said, you need to be the same way about your soul. You need to be ready. Because when the Son of Man coming, if you're not ready, he'll bust your tail. Read it and let him show that what Jesus is teaching.
Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?
Oh! We're going to break it down. Go ahead.
And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time?
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions.
The man that is blessed, the man when the master comes, the man that endures to the end, is the individual that is ready, that is on watch, and that individual is going to be placed over and going to be able to rule and reign with him. And Jesus said that servant is blessed when his master comes and finds him doing, not just confessing and pleading the blood of Jesus, but what he finds doing. And he says, truly, he will set him over all his possessions. That's a way of saying that this man will inherit eternal life, and he will be one that will be a vassal to rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless the Lord, O my soul. But read the next verse, say, Andrea, please tell
but
me.
But if! That servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and began to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful.
Oh, Lord Jesus. This just goes against what people teach as being the Word of God.
years. He ain't came back yet. And so I'm going to kick me some rump. I'm going to beat the male and the female servant. And I'm going to eat. And I'm going to drink me some Hennessy. And I'm going to drink me some vodka. And I'm going to get me some 50-50. I'm going to drink me some Alizé or some Budweiser. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to get my drink on. And I'm going to get drunk. And Jesus said, the mouth of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect, when he's in his drunk. And in an hour when he don't know, when he's whipping somebody and cut him in pieces. That's God's terminology for cut you off. You are no longer a part of what I'm doing, and appoint you your place with the unfaithful. Revelation 21 and 8 said, but the fearful and the unbelieving will have their part in the lake that burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first death is separating from God. The second death is the lake of fire where God burns your stained tail forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, because you never got yourself cleaned up by him, so you always with a stench in his nostrils. And yet they tell you, you don't have to be faithful. I had that book, still got eternal security. Charles Stanley said, if you are faithful, God is still faithful, and it doesn't matter if people believe it. But Jesus says he will appoint him his place with the unfaithful. Please read the next two verses so we can let two young men leave.
And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating.
That doesn't mean he's not going to get his portion with the unfaithful. You get the beating too. You get the beating too. You didn't get ready. Notice 46 says, the one comes, he's not expecting, he didn't do what he should. There's one that knew it, didn't do the master's will, he's going to get a severe beating. He's going to get extra punishment.
But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating.
He's still going to get skint, going to get his beating, and still get the portion with the unfaithful. Please read.
Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And for him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more.
How dare we say that we love the Lord, and we're his saints, and we're his followers, and then live like it doesn't matter. Call ourselves Christians, pastors, reverends, preachers, love God's word, deacons, choir members, etc. And yet when it comes down to it, we don't follow him. We don't be faithful. We're not on the job. We think that when he come, we're going to get caught up in the rapture. Notice in this thing, the analogous parable that he gave is that when he comes back, he's looking for somebody faithful. Mm-hmm. He's looking for somebody that has followed his doctrine, mm-hmm, and not listened to the doctrine of somebody else. Mm-hmm. He's looking at someone that's not afraid of peer pressure. Mm-hmm. He's looking at someone that's not afraid that they come before magistrates. He's looking at somebody that's not going to capitulate to the mores of society. He's looking for somebody that's going to not only know his will, but to fear him enough that he realizes that you will do something. Although you as good as good can be, you know the very hairs on my head. You even know my stature. You know how much I weigh. You know everything about me. You say I'm worth more than the sparrows and that you'll feed me. But if I don't do your will, you'll cut me asunder. That's the word of God. I love you. I care for you. I'll do for you. But you can't do me any kind of way, because I demand. I don't beg for. I demand loyalty. Mm-hmm. Theophilus. Beware the living of the Pharisees or anybody that will teach you something contrary. Pay attention to my doctrine, but you also need to fear me, because I don't just give rewards, I give judgment. It's up to you whether you want reward or judgment. What is it that we want tonight? Do we just want reward? Well, then we know how to live. Or do we want judgment? Let us say he delays. Let us pay attention to what we want to do. Let us put our treasure on things on the earth and not things above. And I submit to you that we'll have the same outcome that these people have. And although it's not fully spelled out the severity of what's here. His other passage that spells out the severity. Theophilus has got a lot to work with. But Theophilus has already left the earth in this human form. He's already been separated from his corpse. We're still here. What are we going to do with what we have and the knowledge that we have of God? Are we going to use it? Are we just going to sit down and say, well, one day, you know, it's been 2,000 years. He ain't came back yet. I mean, it's 2010. Yeah. It's going to be a long time. I ain't even old yet. Mm. Well, make your choice. It's up to us. Father, thank you for our blessed Savior. Thank you for the word that you've given us. Thank you for his warning. Mm-hmm. He doesn't just teach and show the side that we call positive. He shows the whole way that it's going to be. He comes out and he gives us your word. Mm. And your word speaks of wonderful blessings. It talks about us being able to rule and reign. But it also shows that there is a consequence of just proportionate, I would say, detriment and woe and pain and strife and anguish for those of us who just feel like, you know, we know enough about you and that's enough. We don't have to do things your way. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy that you would just grant us the mindset to really think about what's eternal and put our treasure where it should be so our heart will be where it needs to be. In the name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.